the weight of this wind and mercy. And all of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born upon this day to save us all from Satan's power and take us all astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our Heavenly Father, this blessed angel came. Into the certain shepherd brought tidings of the same. How that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading still, proceeding, guide us thy perfect light. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading still, proceeding, guide us thy perfect light. Glorious now, behold him arise, King of love and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, worship him, God most high. Star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading still, proceeding, guide us that perfect light. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. I seen your face on stained glass and colored lights, and pictures of you looking to the sky. You've been portrayed a thousand different ways, but my heart can see you better than my eyes. 'Cause it's love that paints the portrait of your life. The face of love, the face of love, you look more like love every day. I've read your words in the pages of your life, and I've imagined what you were like. I may not know the shape of your face, but I can feel your heart changing mine. And your love still proves that you're alive. The face of love, the face of love, you look more like love every day. The face of love, the face of love, you look more like love every day. And you are the face that changed the whole world. No one too lost for you to love, no one too low for you to serve. So give us the grace to change the world. No one too lost for you to love. No one too low for me to serve. Oh, let us see, let us be your face. Let us be your face. The face of love. The face of love. You look more like love every day. The face of love, the face of love, you look more like love every day.
This is a sing-along, of course.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, oh, all is bright, round yon virgin, mother and child, oh, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace.
Hey, my hands are free.
Sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night. Shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing hallelujah.
We do this once a month and talk about healing and have a healing service. And I'm always trying to find something different to share about. And it always seems to be the same thing. Just change the language. But divine healing is a spiritual cure for what ails us and what ails people. Medical science helps and it aids healing through physical means by administering medicine into the physical body. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. There will be some faith healers that tell you to throw your medicine away. And I am one that says, don't throw your medicine away until your doctor says, don't take it anymore. They're the experts. You know, I mean, we probably know, you know, even faith teachers even know more about healing probably than a lot of doctors. But you need to stay in your own element. And the last thing I would do is to tell anybody to do that. But it's administered through the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, Paul says, he says this, he says, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. And I think a lot of times people think that's heaven. But it's not heaven. That's just part of it. He has so much for us, and He has prepared so many things for us. He goes on to say, but it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. So if this was just for heaven and it wasn't for here, then He wouldn't need to seek us out. He wouldn't need to show us what those secrets are for us today. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have said, or I have said before, that we are all born with the Spirit of God. He says He gave us His Spirit. That's what He says in the New Testament. And so we have that. The thing about it is, what do we do with it? Do we feed it? Or do we quench it? Do we, you know, do we pull it down? Do we pull it away from us? And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so that we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. If this was only this, if this four or five verses here was only for heaven, then He would have probably said these wonderful things God will freely give us. But He doesn't say that. He said He has freely given us. So we already have these things. And Proverbs 4, chapter 4, verses 20 to 22 says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. There are a lot of churches and a lot of ministers that do not believe in healing and do not believe that God heals people. And I don't know why that they decide to throw that part of the scripture out and to, you know, edit that part of the Bible out. But what God has given to us and what God has revealed to us, no man can take away. The only thing that we can do is we can give it up. But no one can take it away from us. God tells us that His Word is life to us and to the ones that find it and find Him, find His Word, health to the flesh, and that He is willing and wants to heal our body. There are some reasons that we're going to get into that people are not healed. But He says, speak the word to your individual situation or your circumstances, no matter what it is. He said, get the word of God into your heart, into your spirit. And what it will do when that does it, it produces results in our body. We're going through this LGBT thing and, you know, and all the gays and the lesbians and everything. And people are saying, well, that's okay because they were created in God's image. The Bible says that we are created in the image of God. The Bible says God is a spirit. So what He has done is He's created us with a spirit, the Spirit of God, and He put His Spirit in a man and a woman. And so when we hear these people talk, and come up with their ideas to justify sin, it's still sin, and it's still wrong. And so we can, you know, we can take anything out of the Word of God that we want, put it in a context that we want, and make it to say whatever we want. But once that Word is into our spirit, into our lives, it produces results, and it changes us. It doesn't make any difference whether it's for a spiritual need or for a physical need. It changes us. It radically has an effect on us that a lot of times we don't often think about and we don't really understand it. So every time that we speak faith, we are speaking strength. And that's why Paul wrote, when he wrote to the Romans, he said, renew your mind daily. He's saying, speak faith to your body. Speak faith to that situation in your life. Speak faith to that illness that's there. And what we will find out that it ultimately that faith that we're speaking will bring about a perfection or bring about a cure, will bring about healing to itself. And it really becomes infused into us that we think nothing any different than the fact that when God said, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, that's what he meant. And he meant that for us. So we pray for people here. We've seen people healed. Todd's nephew, Dominique, had a breathing problem when he was born. We prayed for him and he was healed. A couple that used to go here talked about their granddaughter couldn't speak. She wasn't here, but we prayed for her one night, and he come back a few weeks later and said that the first word she said was, Mommy, I love you. I think she was 3 or 4 years old, and she and her sister had been in the church here. So we know and we have seen things happen. But sometimes people can, I'm going to say, lose their healing, and I think that they forget to claim it. And if you feel like you're losing it, all you have to do is reclaim it. Go back and look at some of the scriptures that we passed out there. John 6:63 says, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. And I don't think those references are on that particular sheet there, but that was John 6:63. But what he's saying here is that the Spirit's what gives us eternal life. And he said he's spoken these things to us, that we would have them. Romans 8:11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, lives in everyone. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. He's saying all these things to let us know that it is possible to be healed if we only believe. Mark 9:23 said, what do you mean if I can? Jesus asked when he answered someone that says, can you heal? He said, anything is possible if a person believes. Mark 9:23. Yes, God works through doctors. God works through medicine. The scientists that created it, the scientists that developed it, the doctor's knowledge is there, would have never been there to aid the body in healing. But it is a process, and it is something that we do and we need when we take medicine. We need to pray over the medicine. Thank God for it. Thank God for what he's doing in us through that medication. A lot of people might disagree with that. But that's something that we should do, and we should look at that. And if people criticize you for that, they're trying to bring you under some type of condemnation for doing that, and just rebuke them. Tell them no. This is what God's Word says. Read the Scriptures over and over. Confess them. Look for the authority that he's given to us, because he said when he left the earth, when he ascended into heaven, he told his disciples, he said, go and make disciples. And what he was saying to him is, make people just like you that were made just like me. Go out and heal the sick. Go out and touch people's lives. Go out and affect them in a positive way. And what he says is his word will not return to us void. He declares that. And so that's why it's so important for us not just to think it, but to speak it. Because here faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can hear it from me, but when you hear it from yourself, then it gets so embedded into us. And we build on that, and we keep growing through that faith. And it'll be like, you know, like a revelation that we'll see that when we begin to do this, is God is going to continue to heal us through what he's doing in our lives. It's really God's medicine. I looked up today of some different things. Healthy means to be healthy, sound in good health. Salvation. Safety is translated health. Salvation is translated health. It means sound, whole, healthy. Healing. To care for the sick, to treat, to cure, heal. Made whole, healed of spiritual needs. Make whole, saving from disease and its effects. Healing is a result of an act. And imparted gifts of healing. So the Bible teaches us a lot of things about healing. Teaches us a lot of things about deliverance. There's some things that we need to do, and there's some things that we need to avoid. Some of the things that we need to do when we need healing or we need deliverance from someone is be with friends. Be with people that will support you. Be with people that will encourage you. Be around your family. Be around loved ones who have faith and who speak words of faith and speak words of encouragement. Be around ones that are in one accord, who agree with you, who believe in what you're believing. Be around people that speak and think positive thoughts. I have said so often, I talked to my brother again today, he's the most negative individual in the world. And I don't know why, other than my mother was negative. I don't know how some people can overcome that and some people live in it. I don't understand it, but if I ever wanted to be healed, I wouldn't hang around my brother. That's a terrible thing to say. But he's not going to do anything to lift me up. He's not going to do anything to encourage me. He's not going to do anything to edify me. He's going to be on the other side of the spreadsheet here when I go through these things we want to avoid. Be around people who trust God, who believe what God said he would do. Be around people that speak life. Don't speak death. So those are the people you want to be with. There's some people you don't want to be with. Those doing evil, because it'll stop the healing if we're around evil-minded people. Now, can we avoid them at work? Can we avoid them, you know? The answer is no, but we don't break bread with them. We don't associate with them. We're going to run into them every day. If you do not stand up for your healing, no one else will. We're the ones that have to claim it. And so when we pray for someone or anyone tonight that needs healing, claim it. He doesn't say that you have to have the faith the size of a mountain. Because as you read those scriptures, your faith will grow. And your faith will be rebuilt up. We will be built up. And you will become encouraged. One of the things that the stories in the Bible is the disciples couldn't cast out demons. And they couldn't heal people because they had little faith. They'd spent all this time with Jesus and yet had to go get Jesus to do some things for them. And this comes after, you know, we see a couple of weeks ago we shared about Peter and John going into the temple and the guy begging there. And he said, silver and gold have I none. But they spoke in faith and said, what I have, I give you in the name of Jesus. Stand up, get up, and walk. And he did that. is that our faith comes and goes. Sometimes it's really strong when things are going really well. And when things aren't quite as top shelf maybe as they should be, we can get a little discouraged. We can get a little down. That's the time when we just we pick up the Word of God, and we just are, it's so important to memorize Scripture. And I think it was at the walk to Emmaus, they were talking about our favorite Scripture, and I jokingly said mine was Jesus Wept, because it was just short enough to memorize. But we all need to memorize Scripture so that we can draw upon it and get faith built up when our faith is lacking. We pray for people. Some get better, some don't. You're going to ask me why, and I'm going to tell you, I don't know. I think part of it is the fact that some people don't receive it. Some people don't accept it. Some people do not continue to believe. You know, and I've heard people say, well, it's a lack of faith. You don't have enough faith. And I think when people are initially healed, they may not have any faith. I believe people are healed from other people's faith. But they also have to get their measure of faith, which we all have, built up and encouraged and strengthened in. So speak positive messages outside, out loud. Talk to people. Encourage people. I saw someone today that I hadn't seen for probably a year. And I asked him, I said, how are you doing? He said, oh, I'm getting along okay. And I asked him about his wife, and she has COPD, and he said they're going to put her on oxygen. And he was pretty down. And I told him, I said, stay encouraged. You know, don't let this defeat you. Don't let it get you down. Stay encouraged, and stay built up. And this is the Christian guy. It's just that we let those things come in and steal our joy, steal our peace. Unfortunately, it happened. And what steals it, and the reason it steals it, is because two words: spiritual warfare. We are in a battle over life and death, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, good and evil, whatever you want to call it, spiritual warfare. And spiritual warfare teaches us that there are things that affect us, and things that come out to our lie in our lives. And so what we need to do is to stand up, take authority over those things, and always obey what God has told us to do. One of the scriptures that we talk about here, and we talk when we share communion, is out of 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And Isaiah wrote, he said, who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? Well, he's revealed it to everybody that's open. This is back in the Old Testament when they had a priest do all their religious stuff for them. It really wasn't Christian because Jesus hadn't come yet. So do all their religious stuff for them. My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with their deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. Who would want to look at somebody like that? Really, when you really stop and think about it, no one in their right mind. I mean, you're despised and rejected and, acquainted with grief. Yet, it was our weaknesses he carried. The despised man carried our weaknesses, carried our sorrows, the stuff that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion. This is from the New Living Translation. Crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. And so tonight, we believe that God heals us and that we can live in divine health and be whole. So I would like us to spend some time just in silent prayer, just thinking about what's been said, thinking about faith, building, you know, getting our faith built up, and thinking about, you know, the positive aspect of the gospel, the fact that this despised man took our sin, took our sorrows, and as it was, as a result of his stripes, that we're healed. So I want us to take a few moments and, you know, and just think about that. Jesus has done everything for us that he can do. We have to do things for ourselves. And so one thing we're going to do, and we're going to celebrate communion, and we do this every time we have a healing service, and believing that through these elements, through the bread that was broken and represents his broken body, that is the aspect of what we just read, Isaiah 53. By his broken body, we are healed. Physical healing takes in a lot of things. It takes in our body, takes in our finances, takes in our relationships, because those are all things that we feel. The cup represents shed blood. And so what this represents is the fact that we can be free from sin. We can be free from, I'm going to call them afflictions, whether they be sicknesses or finances or relationships or whatever, as a result of what he did on the cross, then we can be free. And so anyway, I'm going to ask you tonight to come. Just take the bread and dip it in the cup. And we're going to bless these elements, and we're just going to ask God to bless you as you partake of it. Our Heavenly Father, this is one of the most sacred things that we could ever do, to remember you and remember what you did for the bread, your body, broken that we can be whole, the blood shed so we can be free. So Father, we take these elements tonight and we give you thanks for them. And we bless them in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Father, that each of us partaking tonight will find wholeness through this time. In your name we pray. Amen. The Lord just said something. This is kind of spoke to my spirit, but he said that the body that he gave us authority over it, not Satan. And so, when, as Greg was saying, when you feel like, you know, that something's happening, take authority over it in the name of Jesus, because it's your body, it's not Satan's.